Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast
with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, welcome to Saints Happy Hour Podcast. It's June, first Monday of June. Every month, you get the drunk Saints history. This month, Kevin joined me for the 2000 Saints. It's phenomenal. You should listen. You should download it. You should send it to your friends. You should get them to donate for next year so we can do more drunk Saints history. Dave and Kevin are on a date at Loggers in New Orleans tonight. So this will be fun. Kevin, give the people a taste of what the podcast is going to be like in the background tonight, if you would.
Dave and I are seated out on the patio.
Yeah.
Well, not me, not Dave. Dave now went inside because he said he can't look at me anymore. They're playing music very loudly on the patio.
Yeah.
And I don't think they know how to turn it down or off. So
you're getting
what you're getting, people. It's June.
Yeah.
There's not much going on.
Well, there is actually the Saints. Nick Fairley.
To describe Kevin what Kevin's wearing. He's got his neon pink pasties on right now.
Yeah, I dolled myself up for this. I set the makeup gun to whore.
Unfortunately, the rule of the Saints offseason is in full effect. The Saints have news, and it's terrible. Nick Fairley apparently had some sort of heart issue, and his career may be in jeopardy, which, Andrew, if you could, it's a disaster. Like, if they don't have Nick Fairley, it's as big a disaster as the background music for this podcast, maybe worse so. Could you explain to the people why no Nick Fairley is a disaster?
Yeah, it's to me that's the worst case scenario almost. And I mean, besides Breeze, and the reason I say that, I mean, I would put maybe Cam Jordan ahead of him, but that's about it. And you know, some people might say, what about Delvin Bro? What about Vaccaro? I thought Fairley was a better player than them and more of a linchpin to the defense.
Yeah.
Here's the deal with the defense. I just feel like the secondary is
shit.
Maybe passable if everyone's healthy.
Linebackers, shit.
Linebackers are mediocre at best. And so the one way I felt like this team could really get better defensively is if they had an awesome defensive line.
And
if you have Fairley and Rankins up the middle and you have Jordan and Okafor ends up being okay, you have the makings of potentially a really strong defensive line, and you can hang your hat on that and you can lean on that to be the linchpin of your defense. But if all of a sudden, you know, all these people saying, oh, I'm not too worried about it, we have Rankins, we need them both. they wouldn't have given all this money to Fairley in the offseason if they didn't feel like he was critical to this defense working.
Didn't free agency start on Thursday and they signed Fairley on Friday, right? Like it didn't even take a day. Dave, you were very anti Nick Fairley signing him, because you were worried that he was going to get to be 450 pounds, correct? If Dave isn't mute.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say I told you so, because my whole thing with signing Nick Fairley and paying him all that money was the fact that I was concerned that he was going to become lazy and just half-ass it
throughout this
contract. No, I was not. No, I certainly wasn't saying don't sign him because I think he's got a life-threatening heart condition. So I'm not going to say I told you so. I mean, what I will say is that if they had listened to me for the reasons I initially gave, technically we wouldn't be in this position. That's all I can say about this.
Kevin, if...
So it's an I told you so without an I told you so.
Sort of, yeah.
It's an I told you so. It's a different reason, you know. Dave is like... It's like... I don't know the analogy. It'd be like Dave telling you, do not marry that woman. She is a whore. And then she gets hit by a bus. And you, Dave's like, I told you not to marry her. You wouldn't be so sad now. You know? Maybe my reason was completely wrong, but you should have listened to me. Shouldn't have married her. Kevin.
Yeah, the music will not be going off for the duration of our stay on said podcast. The poor waitress said that if she cuts off the music out here, it'll cut off the music to the entire building.
Oh, yeah. And they won't get the kicking tunes that you got in the background there, which sounds terrible.
Yeah. It sounds like Dave and I are in a goddamn iTunes commercial.
Kevin, me and you are, and Andrew to a certain extent, me and you, because we're a little bit older and whatever, I cannot remember the Saints having two shittier, like, dead periods of the offseason than the last 2 years. I mean, last year in June, they lost Kikaha and Wilson and Jamarcus Sanford. And I know two of the players weren't that big a deal. But this year, they Unger, he's going to be hurt for a while. And then they might lose Fairley for his career. I mean, like, as far as Junes go in the dead period,
And they signed a known child beater. I mean, yeah, this past offseason has been pretty shitty.
Well, I mean, just the dead period. I mean, maybe not like the whole off season, but just like the dead period when there's not supposed to be any news. Like, I can't remember a shittier dead time for the Saints.
Yeah, I'm not the history buff that you and Juge are for the franchise, but I certainly can't. Nothing comes to my mind.
Juge, can you?
And of course, now that I've said this, I'm sure one of our I'm sure one of the intelligentsia that listens religiously but won't admit it will pipe in with something and saying, "Oh no, Held is clearly forgetting the '97 season when this and this and this happened. And, oh, it was a disaster."
Juge, can you think of any? I can't think of it because everything I think of, like Andre.
Well, Kim Thielen getting his
But that was in training camp.
Or like, before training camp.
Or Andre Royal, like, getting arrested at the strip. I mean, that was, like, the beginning of free agency, you know?
Dale Carter failing a drug test the day after he signed a contract?
Yeah, that's true, but that wasn't the day. When did Albert Connell steal money from Deuce?
Oh, that was during the season.
No. I mean, this is pretty, Dave, I felt like all my optimism that I was, like, working towards and I was getting very excited about the season, like, all of it just got chopped, like, burned to the ground. Did you feel that way when you heard about Fairley, or are you just like, eh, whatever?
No. I mean, first of all, do we know that he's, like, definitely, like, not playing football? I mean,
No.
We really haven't
even heard anything yet. He could be fine.
I mean, it's still up in the air, but hey, buddy, look, I would get ready for that because it's only June and it's going to be happening. You know, that's my prediction for this season. It's all going to go, it's going to turn into another 7-9 season, and it's all going to be derailed by stupid injuries. I'm telling you, it's the way I feel.
Kevin,
just the tip of the iceberg, buddy.
Kevin, why
tip of the iceberg?
After watching the Saints last year, and basically, you can argue that their season got derailed because of massive injuries at corner and other places. Why, after watching 2016 and seeing how massive key injuries ruin their season, do people want to talk themselves into, it's fine. It's fine. Fairly, they don't need him. They can get some other fat guy off the street. It'll be fine. Like, why? Why do fans insist on doing that? Or why is it?
Hope springs eternal. In the offseason.
Well, that, and they're just deluded. they're just deluded for no reason.
I mean,
what it's like, what else are you going to do? Acknowledge reality?
I'm not giving up on the season. But you can look at it and be like, shit, this is bad.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I feel like there's a big chunk of fans that are like, no, it's not. If it's not Breeze, it doesn't matter, and they can just go on and be fine.
Next man up.
Next. Dude, if I'm the next man up at the defensive line, they're fucked, okay? Unless it involves speeding. Which yeah,
my favorite arguments for why Fairley doesn't matter is number one, next man up.
Yes.
Number two, he couldn't have been that good because they were 27th with him on defense. So how much worse can it be with him gone?
They were 7-9 with Junior Gallet's 10 sacks. They can be 7-9 without him.
Yeah, so there's that. And my third favorite argument is just the general, they have rankings. Like, they have depth at the position, so it doesn't matter. There's immediately the assumption that Rankins is as good or better than Fairley, which first of all isn't true. We don't even know that yet. Right now, what we know is that Fairley was way better than Rankins last year. And secondly, like, they just completely gloss over and ignore the fact that David Onyemata is getting like 70% of the snaps now.
Kevin, if you take
this out- is why you make. This is why you find a way to make multiple draft picks in a draft. But, you know.
You need to make sure. – don't trade up, trade down. Kevin, obviously I think Drew Brees would be number one and Cam Jordan would be two for guys you just – would you can't lose for the Saints or they're really screwed. But who would – is there anybody that you – that if the Saints lost them would be – higher than Fairley? I can't think of anybody. Like, who would be?
No, Cam Jordan.
No, it would be Drew Brees, Cam Jordan, Fairley would be the top three. And I was asking, is there anybody that I'm missing that's higher than those than those three or those two? Who, Kevin?
No.
Who would you put? Is there anybody?
No, I can't think of anybody. Dave? I mean, that's a real good top three. That's a real.
A lot of fans would say Delvin Bro. And I just think Delvin, I told you this the other day, Ralph. I just think Delvin Bro is like a fully souped up Honda Accord.
For people that take the bus.
Saints fans have been taking the bus the whole life as far as cornerbacks are concerned because we're used to a trash heap and we're used to scooters at corner. And so you see a guy like Delvin Bro, who all he is is a fully souped up Honda Accord, but everyone thinks he's a luxury vehicle.
Is he fully Is he fully loaded Honda Accord? I'd say he's kind of a base model, like
maybe a fully loaded Civic.
Yeah, Dave, is there anybody? Can you think of anybody besides Drew Brees and Cam Jordan that would be higher on the God damn it, I can't believe that guy's injured list for Saints fans?
Sean Payton?
Michael Thomas? Maybe? I mean, but that's it. I mean, and I would say even with Michael Thomas, I feel like even if Michael Thomas got injured, I feel like the Saints could figure it out. You know? So, Andrew, I'm going to talk to you. Andrew, I'm not going to ask you to sugarcoat it and tell me that it's going to be okay and they're going to put Onyemata and he's going to be turned into John Randall. It's going to be okay. But the Saints, they have to do, and we were talking about this yesterday on the phone, they have to do something if Fairley's hurt. Like, they can't just be like, well, we're fucked.
I mean, the one in a million scenario that I remember like this was when the Rams lost Trent Green and Dick Vermeil was as despondent and depressed as I've ever seen a head coach. And
he was crying.
We lost our starting quarterback, like our season's over. And then they went to the Super Bowl because Kurt Warner
was like crying during the press conference. He's like, Kurt Warner's going to play good football. But he was crying while he was saying it. So you were like,
like he knew. He was like, it's over.
Yeah. So, but what scheme wise or plan wise? Would they do? Not that it would work, but what would they do?
Well, I mean, I think right now Davidson would just play, you know, as opposed to Davidson maybe playing 50% of the run snaps and Onyemata just coming in as a pass rush sub, maybe 30% of the time. Now you're just leaning on them that much more. And, you know, I could see where Rankins would be a guy that wouldn't and play as much on running downs, you know, where like sometimes you'd pair Fairley with Davidson. Well, that's kind of out the window. I feel like Rankins really is going to be elevated from maybe playing 60% of the snaps to like 80. And Davison will play a lot with him on first and second down. And then basically anytime it's a pass rushing situation, Onyemata would come in. I mean, I also think they've got to sign a guy. I don't know if that's like an aging vet, like a Jared Odrick, or, you know, just some guy that's out there.
Who's a random fat guy that's out there?
I saw that Canal Street Chronicles posted like four older fat guys that would come on a 1 year prove it deal and maybe be okay.
Get Vince Wolfork. He can stop doing HEB ads in Texas and the Saints can sign him. Kevin, here's a really horrifying thought. Will the Saints defense take a step back from last year and not be as good?
Repeat that, Ralph.
Will the Saints,
you caught me mid-bite.
Will the Saints defense not be as good as it was in 2016 without Nick Fairley? How far back will it slide?
At this point, if you told me the Saints were going to finish 5-11, I would think that was a possibility.
Dave, do you think
you 7-9 is
7?
Nice right now.
7-9. It doesn't matter what they do. As long as Drew Brees is taking snaps, they could have Shalmet high and they would be 7-9.
Yeah. Yeah. 7-9.
I mean, here's the problem is, even if he comes back, if he misses time, Andrew, they're kind of screwed because they need, like, the front of the schedule is just brutal. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
If I said to you, Fairley's out for 6 weeks, but you can pick one guy on the Saints defense to play out of his fucking mind for a month, who would you pick?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I wouldn't pick Jordan because I can confidently trust that he's going to maintain a decent level of play. My pick would be Ellerby.
Ooh, because if
he's playing out of his mind, I know when Ellerby's out of his mind, he is damn good. And if he's playing, that means he's healthy. And we have seen what a healthy, good playing Danelle Ellerby does to this defense. So I think that's my pick.
I like that question. Kevin, who would you pick to play out of his mind if Fairley had to miss like 4 to 6?
Well, I tell you what, then I guess my answer will just be Delvin Bro then. I almost blurted out Corey White for a second. That tells you where my head's at.
Dave.
You just had to ask me whether Corey White was still on the team.
Kevin, Dave, who would you pick, Dave?
Wait, what was the question? I wasn't listening.
If Fairley's out for 4 to 6 weeks, and you could pick one Saints defensive player to play out of his mind for a month, who would you pick?
Marshawn Lattimore.
Ooh, that's a good choice.
I like that pick.
Yeah, I think I would pick Marcus Williams, the new safety rookie. I think.
You like the free safety balling out.
Yeah,
huh?
if he had like four interceptions in a month and like, you know, caused like two other turnovers, like at least that would be something. Get the Saints more possessions. Give them a chance, right?
Right.
So, I think that's it for Saints news. I guess that. Andrew, final thing on that. I guess there's no veteran out there that's going to like command any money at defense. So if they just want to find a guy, they can find a guy. Like they don't.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, and no, any guy that's joining them at this point is on a prove it deal.
Yeah. So before we get to Twitter questions, which we have a couple, I would like to talk about the incredible feat that I did today. I got 2 speeding tickets in 45 minutes. Which has to be some sort of record, maybe. Like, has any of you ever pulled that trick off, where you've gotten two speeding tickets in the same day?
No.
I don't think I've ever gotten two speeding tickets in the same year.
I'm pretty sure that's a superpower that my wife has.
I got a speeding ticket going to fight my property taxes, and I got a speeding ticket coming back from fighting my property tickets. Not one from a state trooper, one from the fine, fine Texas city of Angleton. Yeah, that sucked.
By the way, that's going to fight your assessment. That is such a white person thing to be doing. It's a white route. You are such a whitey.
I am. Come on, man. I mean, is it?
Wait. Are these the same ones that they have in New Orleans, where like you have to pay to like some company in Arizona?
No,
it's like that's what's even more frustrating is like you get these fucking tickets in New Orleans on the camera.
Oh no.
And then you gotta like fucking write the $80 check and send it to fucking Arizona. And they're like, my fucking city isn't even getting this money, are they?
No. It was really the city of Angleton because I was curious to how much it was going to cost, and I called them up, and the nice lady on the other end had the nice Texas drawl. She's like, "Sweetie, we don't get that ticket processed for another week. You just have to figure that. You have to call me back next week." I was like, "God damn it!" So
you should go to court. If the cop doesn't show up, they get expunged.
Man,
it's pretty rare, but it's worth. My buddy just got a ticket for rolling a stop sign, and he was like about to pay the ticket, and at the last second he called like the clerk's office, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm thinking about showing up to court in a few days." And they're like, "Actually, we just pulled your ticket because the cop that wrote you up is no longer employed by the city."
Oh, fantastic.
So and if he hadn't called, he would have just sent him the check, and he would have paid for it.
Yeah. So you're saying I should drive back to Angleton and fight?
Go to court.
Fight the man.
Well, no, I mean you just go to court, and the worst thing that happens most of the time is the judge.
Unless
the judge is a huge asshole, he's just going to be like, "Yeah, you're guilty, and you have to pay whatever."
It's tough to fight City Hall. It is less tough to fight the federal government, and I'm telling you that right now, because if you get audited by the IRS, you can fight that. You can fight that. If you have to declare bankruptcy, you can fight that. If the government, if the feds come after you and say you owe six figures, you can literally look at them, shrug, and say, "Well, all I got is this." And you know what? They'll take it and they'll leave you alone, because that's the feds. The city will come to your house, drag you out of bed in the middle of the night, and beat you with a rubber hose on your front lawn at 3 a.m.
For 80 cents.
Yes, they will do that. They will do that in front of your wife, and they'll do that in front of your neighbors, and they'll say, "Let this be a lesson to the rest of you fuckers." Because that's what the city does. So if you want to go on ahead, drive all the way back to bumfuck Texas and fight this, be my guest.
Bumfuck.
Be my guest. Because let me tell you something. Hayseed McGee, or whoever pulled you over.
Hayseed McGee.
He loves waiting for clowns like you to try and challenge so he can just roll up in his finest... 20-gallon hat for his 10-gallon head.
They had three.
So the judge can like bang his gavel and feel important and try and find a way to fine you further.
They had three cop cars on the
road. Also, the fine republic. Also, the fine republic of Texas can pay for Governor Abbott to go on vacation just a little bit further. That's all that matters, man.
I think the Texas legislature is only in session like once every 5 years.
Well, they got to pay for these guys to go on vacation.
That was a great rant, but I didn't realize Kevin was going to be fired up about this. I was fired up.
I am fired up about it.
I should have played the cripple card and tried to get out of it.
This is why we had to sit outside.
Yeah.
We couldn't have him embarrassing us in the middle of the restaurant.
Your date. Kevin's not going to get any. Dave's upset. All right. So we have Twitter questions. So, hey, Kevin, this is a question for you because you're a Star Wars person. Rogue One or The Force Awakens, what's better?
Ooh, that's actually a good question.
This from Brian.
Huh. I'd probably say The Force Awakens. I'd say The Force Awakens, although maybe the better moment was probably the last, maybe the best moment out of the two might have been the last 5 minutes of Rogue One. Although, and I'm about to contradict myself yet again, for me, 36-year-old me, it was quite cathartic.
The background.
I didn't know how long the song goes on. Apparently, the song goes on forever. Oh, did you know that this music is actually what's going on inside Dave's head at least 22 hours of the day? while he's printing T-shirts. He's just like, you know, printing T-shirts like, gotta make that T-shirt money. Do what you want. Do what you want. And all that kind of stuff. He's like, oh, beignets and crawdads. Woo, boy. Seeing Luke Skywalker at the end, just in the last like 30 seconds of The Force Awakens, was quite cathartic for me, who grew up on that stuff. It was basically just like, oh, it's Luke Skywalker.
So. Here, Andrew, who makes the Hall of Fame first, PJ Williams or David Onyemata?
Oh my God.
Who's buying a ticket first?
It's neither. Yeah, right, exactly.
This is a good question from Matthew, Dave. Which player's family are you going to brag about sitting next to? Which family does Dave brag most about sitting next to this season? So who's it going to be, Dave? What Saints family are you going to be? Are you going to name drop the most during the year?
It's got to be Adrian Peterson's beaten kid, right?
Possible. Oh God, it's definitely possible. I mean, it seems to be somebody different every game. Last year it was Willie Snead, Nick Fairley, Mark Ingram, somebody else. And it's funny because I swear that they always have a big game. Whenever somebody's family is sitting next to me, you know, Ben Watson has his family sat there.
Hey, to come over and rub your semi-bald head for good
every
luck.
Hey, I'm pretty much bald to the wall. So I don't know, but whoever it is, whatever week that is, I'll tweet it out because it's pretty much guaranteed that they're going to have a good game. I think Willie Snead had a 2-touchdown game when his family was there. I think Nick Fairley had like a 2-sack game when his mother was like sitting next to me. And then his mother like died like a week later. It was like very disturbing.
Andrew, is the Saints locker room built on top of an Indian burial ground? That's from Dylan.
No, I really think the Compton curse of Darren Sproles' wife.
It is the Compton curse.
That's what's going on here.
The Compton curse is real. The Greenbrier was made up fake news, but the curse is a real thing. Let's see. Somebody had.
Well, they happen at the same time, so you don't really know if it's a combination or.
Yeah. This is a question from Anthony. What would be more soul crushing? Saints go 7-9 again, or Astros hyper collapse and miss the playoffs? Dude, the Astros are 13.5 games in front in the AL West. If the Astros collapsing would, like, it might kill my poor wife. If they would collapse and blow this season and not make the playoffs, I can't deal with that, Anthony. That would be 1,000 times worse than the Saints not make. The Saints going 7-9 again, 1,000 times worse for me personally. And also, true, the Saints, they might be okay this year and be playoff worthy. This Astros team is on pace to be the best baseball team in the history of Earth. Yeah,
you're not set up for disappointment at all.
No. Let's see. This is an interesting question, Dave. Which Saints player is publicly supportive but secretly furious about a free agent signing or draft pick?
Gotta be his boyfriend, right?
I don't really. Which Saints player?
Yeah, is publicly
privately angry but publicly fine?
Yeah,
signing or trading?
Or a signing or a draft pick.
Of themselves as a player or another player?
No, it's
another player.
It'd be
you
like
dumbass.
Mark Ingram being like, it'd be like Mark Ingram saying.
Well, just say Mark Ingram. That's the obvious answer.
Obviously, the person who asked this question has a particular player in mind when he asked this question, and the person that asked this question, they want me to validate them.
Yes.
And I'm assuming I can't think of another player or at another position, but yeah, I mean, I would say it's probably Mark Ingram and the Kamara thing. I mean, or Adrian Peterson. Mark Ingram is probably all upset because they signed Adrian Peterson.
I would say maybe Calumet was thinking he could play.
And Adrian Peterson is going to be the number one running back in the league. starting week one.
Calumet could be a little mad. Like, he could be supportive of them signing Warford, but he'd be like, God damn, I was going to play guard. You know? And then.
Yeah, that's and a decent call.
And then he comes along. So that's a possibility. Or the secondary could be like publicly, oh, we need more help. We're happy about Lattimore. But privately, we're like, man, we had this. I don't know why they decided another corner. This is bullshit, man. We got PJ and Pro and Kyle Wilson and Swan. We're like, we're good to go. Why'd they do this to us? I mean, so. Look. This is what looks better, Saints' chances of making the playoffs without Fairley or no makeup Kathy Griffin. Oh, my God. It looks like the Joker had a baby with Raggedy Ann. Jesus Christ.
Kevin is making some interesting faces at the thought of Kathy Griffin without
it's
makeup.
It's on my Twitter feed. Matthew.
He's wincing over
Matthew,
here.
Matthew, that is an obscene tweet, and if I didn't like you, I'd block you. That is obscene. I might have to report you to Twitter.
I just thought of a guy that would be mad about a signing.
Who's that?
Luke McCown. I mean, he's not with the team anymore, but
no, he's the winner.
I'm sure he's pissed about Chase Daniel.
No, that's the winner. That's the winner right there. Good job out of you, Andrew. Off topic. This is from Guillaume. He's a new person that's following me on Twitter, but he's a big soccer fan. What's worse, your team being relegated or relocated? Would promotion relegation system work in the NFL? No, it can't work in the NFL because you don't have all the layers of major and minor league team. But the first part is really interesting. Andrew,
relocation is so much worse.
Yeah, I mean, as a, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's clearly relocation. Because listen, relegation sucks for about a month, but then you accept it and you're like, all right, now we just got to beat the hell out of everybody down here in this level to get back up.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a fan of Newcastle. Newcastle has been relegated two or three times since I've been a fan of theirs, and guess what? Both times they ended up winning the freaking second tier to get back into the Premier League.
And sometimes it's more fun to just drop down a level and beat everyone.
And the thing is, with Newcastle is like, they are like the chronic. There is no reason for Newcastle to be relegated ever, and yet they do it consistently. You know, but yeah, that's what I mean.
Well,
like,
because their owner's a cheap bastard. That's why.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is like. If the Saints relocate, I'm done with them. In theory, if they had relegation, the Saints would have disbanded by now because they'd be a rec team at some senior home because of the 70s, man. I mean, Jesus. They'd be out of whatever semi-pro league the NFL has, that's where they'd be. So relegation would kill the Saints, but relegation is way preferable, as bad as it is. So that pretty much wraps it up. Thanks everybody for the questions, the fun questions. We needed them with the potentially bad news about Fairley. So you go to Saints Nation. Andrew's got stuff there, posting, right? Quick shots, different things, different articles. Dave's working on his preview column that he'll post 2018. And Kevin's on the Twitters, right? Kevin, have you gotten any?
Yes, still on. Still on Twitter.
Have you gotten any Twitter flame wars with people lately?
No, not lately. Just the usual back and forth banter between you and I.
Yeah, I got into Twitter fighting about Nick Fairley. They called me Negative Nancy, and the Saints were going 0-16 and all that.
That's the nicest thing I've ever been called.
Yeah, I put a little sugar coating on it. And I was arguing with somebody about politics, about... So that was fun. If people get mad at me, they're like, when can I unmute you when you stop talking politics? I'm like, dude, I talk politics and I talk the Saints. If you don't like it, you don't have to follow me. I talk Everton too. But anyway, so for Dave and Kevin on their date, guys.
So cute.
It's cute. Have fun the rest of your night. And remember, Dave, no means no, no matter how drunk Kevin is.
I like that you think he's the one making the move. That's great.
I'll try to keep my hands off of him.
And so, and for Dave, for Kevin, for Andrew, until next week, the bar is closed.
Rex and Rob Ryan are your new WWE Tag Team Champions of the World.